Pleasure to welcome back to our program, Coach, head coach of your Toronto Raptors, Dwayne Casey. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Congratulations. 3 in a row. Big win last night. And you got a chance to give some guys a break, I guess, just what the doctor ordered, especially after that road trip.
Well, it was. You know, we was wanting to try to keep down Cal and DeMar's minutes as far as, you know, the total minutes are concerned. And last night was a good, good way of doing it. That's the way you want to do it, is try to, you know, make sure you get a quality win, a solid win, a, you know, bell-to-bell win. It's, you get a good young Philadelphia team. I think that team is going to be a force to be reckoned with in a few years, and they've got a lot of young talent. And the biggest fear you have coming into a game like that is coming back home off of a long road trip, and guys kind of exhale a little bit and take the foot off the pedal. But we didn't do that last night. So it was a good way to start a homestand.
Coach, wanted to take, I know you probably don't want to go back to Sacramento, but I'd like to take you back to Sacramento. And obviously, you know, what happened with that last second shot and screwing up the clock. And I've seen you animated before, and no one appreciates it more than me, just so you know. But, you know, when you're talking to the referee, can you take me through that immediate conversation? So Terrence Ross hits that three. The immediate conversation with the referee and his explanation to you, and maybe the PG version of what you said back to him?
Well, the version was, I said, Mike, you know, first of all, he said there was a clock malfunction. He said that, you know, they pushed the button, the official score. There's three guys that really control the clock. The main guy, on the official on the floor, pushes his button, which initiates the clock. And for whatever reason, he said there was a clock malfunction. That was the explanation I got. And the PG version, I said, well, how are we supposed to know? You know, the only thing that Terrence Ross can go by is the clock above the basket. You know, he can't go by some imaginary clock, you know, in Secaucus to time his shot or how much time he has to get a shot off. So that was the PG version. And how did he know how we're supposed to play against it? How did we know it was a clock malfunction? Let's play it over again. Or, you know, if there's no, it's not enough explanation to overturn the call, which you call good, let's keep playing. You know, but then they go to Secaucus and put it on a stopwatch there and say that he didn't get it off in time. And my version was it was like 0.5 seconds, between, you know, he had it left on the clock. Mm-hmm. So it was chaos. We thought that the game was going into overtime. I was in the huddle drawing up a play, the first play of the overtime to prepare the team to go into overtime. And it was very disappointing because, you know, we didn't play well, first of all, but we played well enough to put ourselves in the position to go ahead and win the game in overtime. So tough way to lose the game, but, you know, now we have to look forward. We have to put that in the rearview mirror. And I know we're going through a protest process right now. And, you know, those things really, you know, rarely turn out the way you want them to. But, you know, my hat's off to Masai in the front office for fighting for the players because they, you know, the guys executed the play well down the stretch. And Terrence got the shot off, you know, in time, according to us. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But, again, we got to get ready now for Memphis. And we have a, you know, good, strong homestand here with some good teams coming in that we got to get ready for.
Now, how do you, because this always interests me, because I'm one of those guys that just can never let something go if it's not right. You know, like you can call me a right fighter, but when there's no justice, they say no justice, no peace. I am a basket full of nerves and I can't get over it. So how do you, because listen, I don't know what I like more as a Raptor winner, watching you fight for what you think is right on behalf of your team. How do you move on from that, the way that your mind works?
Well, you have to. I mean, you have to put that kind of in the rearview mirror. And just like you did the last game or the last play, I tell the players all the time, the most important play of the game is the next play. Forget the last play. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't replay it. So that's what I have to do. It stings. It hurts because, you know, you feel like you had a W taken away, a possibility to have a W taken away from you. But in that said, I have to practice what I preach and, you know, put the next play in the rearview mirror and go to the next play. So it's a, you know, the NBA is a game of mistakes, and you want to minimize as many mistakes as you possibly can have as a player, as a coach, and, you know, get the next play right. So that's what the mentality I have to have. Even though you fight and scratch for every inch, every play you can to win that play, but, you know, you have to let it go.
Are you surprised, Coach, at or disappointed in the amount of times, and we've seen it this year, and I don't want to say it's a Canadian-American conspiracy because it ain't, but are the amount of times that referees appear to get it wrong or to us appear incompetent, and I don't want to cost you any money. So, you know, are you amazed at how much they get it wrong, specifically when it comes to you and the Toronto Raptors?
No, the thing is, you know, and as much as you get upset the officials, we have some of the best officials in the world. I've coached international basketball and international play. Believe me, we have some of the best in the world. They may appear to get it wrong, but a lot of times they get it right. You see them in real speed and game, then you slow it down and watch it on the video. A lot of times they get it right. We all make mistakes. They make mistakes, and they'll let you, you know, they'll tell you. That's one thing you respect about an official. He will tell, the good officials will tell you, hey, I missed it. And what else can you say as a coach? So you have to do that. But I respect officials. I spoke at their training camp this year. They brought me in. I don't know if it was to bring me in to chastise me or to have me to speak on behalf of the coaches. But I learned a lot. I got to spend some time with the officials. They have a hard job. It's one of the toughest jobs to officiate in sports, I think, because it's so fast. I would say hockey's pretty tough too, but basketball is so fast because there's no really stoppage of play unless there's a foul, unless he blows a whistle. So, and it's really fast. And the NBA players have perfected the game of going, you know, of selling a play, selling a foul, selling a situation where, you know, as a fan, you look like, whoa, he really got fouled. And then when you slow it down, players do a great job sometimes of acting. The funny thing, I want to say this, the funny thing that happened the other night, you know, we lost the game in Sacramento, and then I think the next game or the two games later, or next game I think it was, they added 34 seconds to the clock and nobody caught it, you know, until the game was over with. So, you know, we lose the game, but then we were given 34 seconds in a game that it didn't really matter, but, you know, there was a huge discrepancy in time. So those things happen. It's unfortunate, but, again, like we have to do, we have to get our mind wrapped around going in fighting tomorrow night with the Memphis Grizzlies.
One of the guys that's impressed me, Coach, this season, and, you know, he took a lot of flack last couple of seasons, very inconsistent. Some people call him soft. Wouldn't go into the dirty areas. Terrence Ross, 22 points in 23 minutes yesterday. He was 3 for 5 from three. He was 8 of 11 from the floor, 73%. He's been a really nice surprise. What's changed from last year to this year with Terrence Ross?
I was talking to Brian Colangelo after the game and just talking to him about how, you know, Terrence is becoming more consistent. You know, that's been his biggest, almost his middle name, Terrence Inconsistent Ross. But he is growing. He's becoming more consistent. He's becoming more mature as a man. And all those things are kind of pulling together for him. The main consistent area that I've seen is his defense. It's getting much better. You know, his rotations, being where he's supposed to be on time consistently is growing. And a lot of that is just growing into a player. And again, we have a young team. I know sometimes we don't think so, but we have some young players, young team. Doesn't have a lot of, they're not long in the tooth as far as experience is concerned in the NBA. So Terrence is growing right before our eyes, as did DeMar DeRozan. But his shooting last night, he had one of those nights where he just couldn't miss last night. But yeah, the main area where I judge Terrence is his defense consistency, his focus, and doing his job on that end of the floor.
Coach, there's no question that Masai's done a tremendous job with this franchise, but you mentioned the name Brian Colangelo, and is he not getting enough credit in this city for putting some of these pieces in place?
Including yourself,
that maybe we should say, hey, Brian has a lot to do with the success of this team, just like Masai and yourself do.
Well, Masai will be the first to tell you also, Brian started, you know, we all, Masai included, myself included, owe Brian a lot as far as, you know, having a vision of what he thought to getting our program here going in the right direction. He started it, and by no means are we there yet, but he had the foresight and the vision of how he wanted the team to look, and, you know, bringing DeMar DeRozan, Terrence Ross, Jonas Valanciunas all in here to play and everything, and DeMar DeRozan signing him to extension. You know, good or bad, he brought me here also. So I've thanked him before. I've thanked Brian for the opportunity and told him that, you know, what he started here was something special, and Masai is taking it to another level. But Brian is a good basketball man. He's in the process of doing the same thing in Philadelphia, which we don't want to be playing, because they played last night with Embiid, a young man, Ben Simmons, who's going to be a special talent in the league. So they're putting something special together there, as we are here, as far as growing and developing our young guys here. And so, you know, both here and in Philadelphia, you know, we're kind of on the same crash course.
Got a silly little two-part question for you, and then we'll let you go. We know you're so busy, and we greatly appreciate your time, Coach. But where's Jared Sullinger at in his recovery? And then B, the other part of that question is, do you believe that this team needs another piece to be competitive with some of the elites that you've just played on the road, the Cavs, the Warriors, and the Clippers?
Well, you know, unless you can go out and get I don't think there's any LeBron James to number 23s walking around anywhere that you can get. I think that's the thing. You know, I like our roster. We got a good young roster. Are we on that level right now? No. But, our guys have to keep growing, keep getting better. The potential for our team is there. They, you know, those teams have, you know, the Cavs have a veteran-laden team that's our target. That's the team that we're chasing, and a lot of teams are chasing, not only us. But, we're on our way, and our program has been patient. We've been working, striving. Guys are working to get better, to get there. So, you know, you can sit around and say, hey, I need this piece, I need that piece. You know, that doesn't happen in our league. We got to make sure we take the pieces we have and mold them, work them. You got a kid like Siakam, who I see a lot of potential in. He's not there yet. You know, I just watched the film like last night. Makes a ton of mistakes, but he makes up for them by hustle, hard work. And once he starts knocking down that jump shot, he'll be something special too for us. But right now, we are where we are. We're growing, scratching to get to the level of the San Antonio, the Clippers, and Cleveland, and you say Golden State. But, you know, as a lot of other teams in this league are trying to get theirs. But Sullinger will be back probably around, I would say, February, you know, somewhere around the All-Star break, somewhere in there. I see him riding around on his little cart all the time around practice. I'd rather see him in his tennis shoes running around. But he's going to be a big plus for us. He'll give us some experience, some addition. You know, I tell everybody, he started on a team that was right behind us in the playoff race last year. So he's going to be a big plus for us. But again, you know, but the experience that Siakam is getting now by being a starter and on a on a second-ranked team in the conference right now is going to be huge. Will pay huge dividends for us down the road.
Coach, as always, so good of you to do this. Know you're super busy, but great result last night. Continued success, and hopefully we can do this again.
Thank you so much, Dean. Thank you, buddy.